Welcome back, folks. On this Wednesday, the 4th day of October, 2023, I'm your host, Mark Hall. And if that date rings a bell, it might be because of all the conspiracy theories. Usually they turn out to be conspiracy fact. I guess in this case, we'll see about yet another trial balloon that seems to be set to go up at 2:22 Eastern Time. And if you're hearing this, it's after that now. From Big Brother's emergency crew, FEMA. Now, I'm recording this shortly before that time. I'll be shutting things down here momentarily, and then we'll get this up later, probably. But suffice it to say, I don't necessarily expect that anything is going to be obvious that'll happen at that particular time. On the other hand, I don't blame anybody for not trusting anything that comes out of Big Brother at this point. I certainly don't myself. And I will add this. If I was evil enough to work for a 3- or 4-letter agency and intended to do all kinds of harm to the American people, I'd probably come up with some really subtle way to, say, embed something into the various cell phones and electronic devices. Well, wait a minute. That's already been done. Well, maybe something else a bit more insidious. How about embedding something into the people that are listening to it that activates later? Maybe this is the activation code, as some have suggested. But even then, I might expect it to take a week or two, long enough for plausible deniability, before people start, well, showing the effects. So, in other words, several reasons why I wouldn't necessarily have expected anything overt to obviously happen today. But on the other hand, why lean into a left hook if you know it's coming? And originally, for reasons that should be obvious now, I set about to put up a repeat for today's pre-recorded but run live 1:30 p.m. Mountain, 12:30 p.m. Pacific Time broadcast. But then I saw some of the news that came out late on Tuesday. So here we are. Plenty to talk about, things that if you haven't already heard, you will soon, and they certainly bear a little bit of examination. And that means certainly not the kind you're going to hear on CNN. Still, though, let's start with the story the way it was reported Tuesday evening. For the first time in American history, a sitting Speaker of the House, the Rhino, Kevin McCarthy, has been removed from office. The term is vacating the chair, and the Daily Mail's coverage tells us that the 216-210 vote, which included every Democrat and 8 Republicans, to remove him as Speaker is the first time there's even been a vote held since 1910, and back then it was unsuccessful. Not that there haven't been plenty of times over the last few years when it should have happened, but the leftists would never have evicted an outright communist like Nutcase Nancy. McCarthy, however, seems to have been just too much for even the rhinos to keep covering for. The Daily Mail's coverage again says that the drama unfolded after Florida Republican Matt Gaetz introduced a motion to kick out McCarthy on Monday night. Tuesday morning, Democrats emerged from talks saying they wouldn't help the slimy speaker escape and all would vote to remove him. And for McCarthy, says the piece, it went downhill rapidly from there. The humiliating end for the shortest live speaker since 1875 sent shockwaves across Capitol Hill and secured his future in the history books, that is, if there are history books, following what they called a roller coaster tenure of only 9 months, during which time he arguably broke more promises than some speakers probably did in their entire careers. Following McCarthy's ouster, Representative Matt Gaetz called the former speaker a feature of the swamp, and in an on-the-curb interview said, quote, Kevin McCarthy couldn't keep his word. He made an agreement in January regarding the way Washington would work, and he violated that agreement. We are $33 trillion in debt. We're facing $2.2 trillion annual deficits, he added. And it looks, folks, like that implies the continuing resolution over the weekend was the straw that broke the proverbial camel's, or in this case, crocodile's back. And then he added, we face a de-dollarization globally, huh? That certainly awakens some folks that will crush America's working-class Americans. Kevin McCarthy is a feature of the swamp. He's risen to power by collecting special interest money and redistributing that money in exchange for favors. Well, it kind of makes you wonder, if he was just quite a bit more senile and didn't pretend to be a Republican, he might be next in line for the White House. And while your host might suggest the Daily Mail's coverage hasn't been all that kind to Matt Gaetz, they did say this. The Florida representative had long promised to bring forth a motion to vacate if McCarthy put a continuing resolution or a stopgap funding bill to extend government funding at 2023 levels to prevent a government shutdown on the House floor. And on Saturday, McCarthy did just that. And unlike McCarthy, Gaetz kept his word. As for now, McCarthy advisor and confidant, Financial Services Committee Chairman Patrick McHenry of North Carolina, has been designated the temporary speaker or speaker pro tem, a basically ceremonial role that will have him help oversee the election of whoever's next. Just a few hours later, McCarthy announced, whatever happens, it won't be him. As a matter of fact, he's even threatened to give up his House seat entirely. Yeah, color your host skeptical on that score. And after all of that, as you might suspect, the big guesswork on Capitol Hill has to do with whoever it might be that is next. Congressman Troy Nels has said he will nominate President Trump for the job. Even though he doesn't sit in Congress, folks, that's entirely possible. And he is open to being Speaker of the House, as a follow-up story that's being repeated even on the Waystream Press, after his name's been floated by a handful of what they call right-wing Republicans. He said during a press conference Wednesday morning, a lot of people have been asking me about it, referring to the presidential contest, he said, quote, "We're leading by like 50 points for president. My focus is totally on that. If I can help them during the process, I'll do it. But we have some great people in the Republican Party. They'll do a great job as speaker," he said. Well, he's been wrong before, folks, on that score. But he added, "I'll do whatever it is to help, but my focus is being president." And I suspect, folks, it's not lost on him that Speaker of the House is actually second in line for that job, especially given what might be called currently applicable scenarios. And let's not forget, as you might suspect, there are lots of other names being floated for the possibility. House Majority Leader Stephen Scalise has emerged as an immediate contender in the hours after McCarthy went down, say a number of pieces, but he's certainly dealing with major health issues. And Representative Jim Jordan, who's been big in the battle against Biden, has announced he, too, would like to be Speaker of the House. And he counts among his supporters Representative Thomas Massie of Kentucky, Daryl Issa of California, and Mike Carey of Ohio, all of whom said that they would support the man who at this point looks kind of like an anti-Kevin McCarthy. And by Wednesday morning, a story in the Gateway Pundit by Jim Hoff says that Marjorie Taylor Greene, too, has jumped on board, announced she will publicly endorse former President Donald J. Trump as her candidate for Speaker of the House. There was one other bit of good news after the acting Speaker, Patrick McHenry, took up his gavel. His first order, Nancy Pelosi must vacate her Capitol hideaway office by Wednesday. Yeah, more good riddance. And as you might expect, she's fit to be tied. What's she going to do with all that ice cream, your host wants to know. She lashed out at the Speaker pro tem, saying his ruthless move to evict her was, quote, "a sharp departure from tradition," and it's about time on that score, folks. She whined about how she's at a funeral for one of the other biggest scumbags in the last few decades, you know the name, and, quote, "I'm unable to retrieve my belongings at this time." Well, I guess she'll just have to have some of her slaves go and do it for her. That was what was going to happen anyway, and you knew it. From there, a couple of stories to set the stage for a bit of analysis that needs to happen after that. The first one comes from Zero Hedge, Tyler Durden, and this time via Bobby Ann Flower Cox and the Brownstone Institute, where the story is entitled, "This Will Make Your Blood Boil. The Biden-Fuhrer regime has gone full Orwell, denying that the vax mandates ever even happened." And if you haven't read the dystopian classic 1984 by George Orwell, it begins, you absolutely must. The author said, quote, "I loathed that novel when I read it as a teen because I hated the entire idea of an authoritarian government controlling its people so deftly. But here we are 75 years later, and yep, he was right." Even the left-leaning Wikipedia, the story notes, described that book as a cautionary tale whose theme centers on, quote, "the consequences of totalitarianism, mass surveillance, and repressive regimentation of people and behaviors within society." It was allegedly modeled on the authoritarian states of Stalin's Soviet Union and Nazi Germany, but nowadays we have more modern examples. And one of the main points is the book takes a deep dive into the role of truth within a society and the ways in which truth and the facts can be manipulated by Big Brother, that was Orwell's term, to control the population. Who are you going to believe, me or your lion eyes, is the way Bill Clinton's team used to put it. And as for George Orwell, he said, the party, he capitalizes it, told you to reject the evidence of your own eyes and ears, and it was their final, most essential command. Through their ministry of truth, the government, or Big Brother, or the party, engaged in endless propaganda, intense surveillance, and the open and obvious negating of historical fact. That was the whole point of the protagonist Winston's main job. Well, as Orwell says in the book, who controls the past controls the future, and who controls the present controls the past. So, says the author, fast forward to the present day. And this statement that keeps resonating in my brain. They must really think we're stupid. They being Big Brother, both federal and state this time. The we, you and me, and the other 300+ million Americans across our country, because here we are, entering the final quarter of 2023, and we have a United States government and a whole lot of state governments, including former Andrew Cuomo of New York, current left-wing communist Governor Kathy Hochul of the People's Republic of Michigan,
and others come to mind, proclaiming for all to hear that they did not force anyone. No, trust us, we didn't do that, to do anything detrimental over these last 3.5 years. Unbelievable, says the story in all caps. Do you hear this? They're actually trying to get us to believe with a straight face that they didn't force you to wear a mask, or lock you down and shutter your businesses, or make a Hobson's choice between losing your job or taking an experimental drug, which turns out to have been worse than that. Nope, they didn't do any of that. And you, well, you're a conspiracy theorist, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, flat-out crazy to boot. If you think they even did, you're lying, you're exaggerating, totally overreacting, and even to suggest so is disinformation. Unfortunately, says the story, with appropriate video links, until Big Brother and his Ministry of Truth manage to expunge the web, there are plenty of indicators that they are lying through their damnable teeth. The author includes this famous clip from NBC News of the Biden Fuhrer announcing his enhanced vaccine mandate. Take your Zyklon B or else.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. This is not about freedom or personal choice.
We've never given a damn about that.
This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you.
And if you were stupid enough to believe that, you might want to check and see whether you even still have an immune system if you're still alive.
The president is ordering nearly all federal workers and employees of contractors that do business with the federal government get vaccinated within 75 days, eliminating their option to be tested instead of getting shots. Employees who refuse could be punished, even fired.
If you want to work with the federal government and do business with us, get vaccinated.
While initially reluctant to issue mandates, the president's aggressive new plan requires vaccinations for 17 million healthcare workers at hospitals and other sites that receive Medicare or Medicaid funding. President Biden's now pressuring private companies too, directing the Labor Department to require businesses with 100 or more employees ensure their workers are fully vaccinated or provide a negative test each week. A move the White House estimates will impact 80 million Americans. Companies that do not comply could face fines. The White House anticipating lawsuits.
Which eventually, finally, they lost, even in the Supreme Court. But not before those mandates killed a whole lot of people and permanently injured many, many others.
If you break the rules, be prepared to pay.
Perhaps with your life.
And by the way, show some respect.
What a disgusting reprobate. Yeah, show the same kind of respect he showed for your God-given rights once protected by that Constitution that he so detests. Well, the point is, folks, now they're trying to literally do the Orwellian rewrite of history. And the Biden Fuhrer and those that are pulling his puppet strings are, of course, not alone. The entire regime is right there with him, says the piece. His head of OSHA, Douglas Parker, is now also lying through his teeth about the OSHA mandate that required, not suggested, that all employers in the entire nation with 100 or more employees force those employees to take the COVID-19 not vaccine. Otherwise, they had to wear a mask and test constantly for C-19, and of course, most employers weren't willing to do that, so guess who got to be mandated? At least if they wanted to keep a job and put food on their family's table. And that, by the way, was the OSHA mandate that the story notes was struck down by the Supreme Court last year because it was violently unconstitutional. Then there was the head of HHS, Xavier Becerra, saying, no, there never was a mask mandate. Another blatant lie. Congressman Kevin Kiley took him to task, though, associated with a clip that I'll play in just a second, that showed what HHS Secretary Becerra said not long ago. Here's what Kevin Kiley of California said this time. The Biden administration, sick, is rewriting the history of COVID today. Indeed, the head of OSHA claimed, quote, we didn't demand that anyone be fired, despite issuing a worker vaccine mandate for 84 million Americans that was struck down by the Supreme Court.
What was President Biden and OSHA's plan if 84 million Americans refused to comply with the vaccine mandate or show their papers?
That's categorically untrue. We didn't threaten anyone, and we didn't demand that anyone be fired.
Did forcing two-year-olds to wear masks save lives?
And who did the forcing?
Well, your department, or the Head Start, which is under your department, had a mask mandate until late last year for two-year-olds and above, even outdoors. So can you point to any public health benefit of that policy?
Right. We never forced anyone to do anything because we don't have the jurisdiction or authority to do that.
Did you encourage states to adopt student vaccine mandates?
I did not encourage states to adopt student vaccine mandates. where states...
Excuse me, sir. You said right here, not only do I support it, but I'm encouraging states to come up with a plan to make sure it happens. The title of the article is Education Secretary Backs Mandatory School COVID-19 Mandates. Mr. Parker, you're one of a number now of officials in this administration who has come before this committee and tried to tell us that 2+2 doesn't equal 4. Sitting in the chair that you're in now, the Secretary of Education testified, gave false testimony to this committee, denying that he had promoted a student vaccine mandate when he had done precisely that. Sitting in the chair that you're in now, the Secretary of Health and Human Services made one of the most outlandish statements ever entered into the congressional record, which is saying quite a lot, when he said, we never force anyone to do anything in relation to the widely discredited policy of forcing young children as young as 2 years old to wear masks. And now you come before us today, asked about one of the most sweeping abuses of power that we've seen that was rebuked by the Supreme Court, and you tell us that we didn't demand that anyone be fired. So has there been some sort of memo going around? Why is the administration insistent on rewriting history?
All you have to do is read that rule and you will see that it is not a vaccine mandate.
Any other dodge they're using? If this guy puts a knife to a woman's throat and rapes her, well, she had a choice. She could either do you know what or die. So, ha ha, that's not a mandate either. Have you had enough yet?
Well, after that Orwellian atrocity, we go on to this one. Courtesy of Christina Leyland, the Gateway Pundit. Far-left New York judge, and I got to put sick after that, don't I? For more than one reason. Arthur Engeron on Tuesday issued a gag order in the fraudulent fraud trial against President Trump. The judge threatened serious sanctions. Is that a mandate? For violating the gag order, which includes fines and up to 30 days in jail. President Trump on Tuesday delivered brief remarks to the press before entering the courtroom, and he blasted the Attorney General Soros plant, Letitia James, as what she is, a fraud, and said, quote, this trial is a rigged trial. It's a fraudulent trial. The Attorney General is a fraud, and we have exposed her as that, he said of the not trial by jury, after which he lashed out at Engeron's principal law clerk, one Allison Greenfield, for posing for a photo with far leftist radical senator Chucky Schumer of New York. Said Trump, you saw what was just put out about Schumer, the principal clerk. That is disgraceful, said Trump, referring to that photo of Engeron's principal law clerk standing next to the smiling anti-constitutional Chucky doll. Adding that, quote, Schumer's girlfriend, Alicia R. Greenfield, is running this case against me. How disgraceful. The case should be dismissed immediately, he said in a Truth Social post. After which the judge pretended he was a fact checker and did exactly what Orwell knew would happen. Because wannabe tyrants everywhere just don't like the idea of Americans actually seeing through the crap that they're trying to pull. And things like lawfare and malicious persecution and free speech prohibitions masquerading as gag orders incline your host to speculate just a little bit more about the politics of President Trump being nominated for the Speaker of the House position. As I've mentioned already, not only would he be second in line for the presidency and with a Republican majority that actually might do something about impeaching criminals that have infested the Oval Orifice and nearby environs, it's not too hard to envision a scenario where you get rid of first Kamala Harris, maybe in a package deal where you get rid of other criminals too, like the evil Merrick Garland and Alejandro, I can open the borders and bring in the communist Chinese invaders, Mayorkas, and then the senile imposter, and then, guess what? But beyond that, I can't help but hearken back to an article written by Wayne Root late Tuesday, where he said, prior to Trump saying he might actually accept the job, that whether he wants it or not, here's an idea that exposes all the rhinos and changes Congress forever, that would be Trump for Speaker of the House. And he begins by reminding us that he was among those who urged Trump to dump Kevin McCarthy, but he wouldn't do it. I told the president that McCarthy's a D.C. swamp rat and a backstabber, and Trump's reply was, well, so is everyone else in D.C., so good point. Nevertheless, he said, I had one heck of an idea. Trump should have been made the Speaker of the House for the past year. And I'll admit, folks, you can't imagine that it would have been any worse now, can you? But more importantly, says Wayne Allen Root, I trust no House Speaker to actually support Trump when it comes to 2024, other than Speaker of the House Trump, who'd be the only one I truly trust to support presidential candidate Trump. Never forget that McCarthy, McConnell, et al., the Rhino crowd, actively not only funded but supported all the Rhino candidates and backstabbed all the MAGA candidates, basically throwing the 2022 midterms, which should have been a blowout for anybody but the Biden Fuhrer and his Communist Chinese Party-backed team. But now he says nominating Trump for Speaker of the House would have several advantages. You could put every GOP congressman officially on the record and flush out a bunch of rhinos, never-Trumpers, backstabbers, and traitors. All of them, he said, could then be primaried. But more importantly, what could Trump do if he was Speaker of the House? Not only actually speak, he could stop any increase in the debt ceiling, defund the, well, here comes a list of three-letter unconstitutional agencies, DOJ, FBI, CIA, ATF, IRS, Department of Education, and of course, the border czar herself. Oh, yeah, do you remember this? Kamala Harris. And here you thought it was Alejandro Mayorkas, but basically it's still Chinese Premier Xi. Well, folks, normally I don't spend too much time on politics per se in Washington, particularly when it comes to Congress, because if there's anything that they've proven beyond any reasonable doubt at this point, it's that, well, to call them impotent is probably not only a polite dismissal, but giving them the benefit of the doubt. So, Kevin McCarthy, good riddance. Do I expect another rhino to be installed in his place? Almost certainly, folks. But at least in the meanwhile, there may be some entertainment value here. I'd certainly think that somebody that might actually at least posture about doing something, like getting rid of as many criminals as possible, as fast as possible, might wake a few people up. And if there's anything I can say about Trump at this point, it's that he might just have enough of an axe to grind to really do some bushwhacking where it needs being done. And I can't think of a better place to start than all kinds of unconstitutional agencies and other things for which the House of Representatives, at least once upon a time, had the constitutional budget authority to say no. That, at least, would be truly entertaining. Well, if nothing else, folks, it beats bread and circuses while Washington, like Rome, burns. Well, that'll do it for today. This show will be up only as podcast for the time being, simply because it was too late by the time the emergency broadcast test was over to actually put together the show that I wanted to do. So thanks for joining us, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey, I'm gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.